The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, May 17th, 2019. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who's enjoying a well-deserved vacation in the Caribbean with his wife, Anne. If you've been following Bill on his Facebook page, you have not only seen some beautiful photos, but he's also really digging into the history of the islands, and it's great reading. So, Bill, if you're listening, keep it coming. We're enjoying it. He and Anne left just this morning for St. Kitts and Nevis, so we can expect a lot more over the weekend. So some good stuff coming up on Bill's Facebook page, worth looking at. The show is heard live Monday through Friday, noon to 1, right here on 10:30 a.m. Trusted Local Talk. And we're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. On Fridays, Bill likes to acknowledge the Buckmaster Show media partners, which includes TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Tucson Local Media, Tucson Weekly. You're going to find all of those and more on his website. We're going to do something a little different today in the Friday Focus interview. We're going to be taking much of the hour for one topic, journalism. Where is it and where is it going? Or to be more pointed, what the heck is happening in the industry? We've got some of the best minds in Arizona journalism to join in that discussion. And if you want to join us, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. We'd welcome your comments. Now let me introduce you to our rogues gallery of journalists. On the phone from Phoenix, we have Jim Small. He's editor of a new independent nonprofit news site called Arizona Mirror. That's azmirror.com. Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Great to have you. In studio, we have Jill Jordan Spitz. She is the editor of the Arizona Daily Star. Thanks for joining us, Jill.
Thanks for having me.
And Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of the online TucsonSentinel.com. How you doing, Dylan?
Pretty good. It's an, as you mentioned, alluded to, it's an interesting week in the news industry, especially here in Tucson.
Absolutely. We're going to be getting into that in just a little bit. In our second half hour, we are going to be joined by Luigi Del Puerto. He is the associate publisher and editor of Arizona Capital Times, also up there in the Phoenix area. So let me just lay this out for our listeners, kind of the direction we want to go. What's been happening the last 10, 15 years? And any of you three want to jump in, you go right ahead. I just have some bullet points that I've pulled together. There's, of course, been studies and papers and gnashing of teeth on this for years and years. And I remember back in the mid-90s when the Arizona Republic launched its website, and we knew that this was going to be a very good thing, and it was going to be a very disturbing thing. It was really going to kind of upend how we do things in the news business. In the past 15 years or so, about 1,400 cities and towns across the United States have lost a local newspaper. There are very few two newspaper towns. We've seen the demise over the last few years of the Rocky Mountain News, Baltimore Examiner, Cincinnati Post, Honolulu Advertiser, Tucson Citizen, which we'll get back to, Tampa Tribune. That doesn't speak to huge staff cuts that we have seen at nearly every newspaper in the country. Print circulation has been dropping for at least two decades. Online readership is there, but newspapers make their money in print, so they are financially struggling. And I want to remind people that I like to tell people that readers, more readers than ever before, are reading what we write. It's just that they're accessing the content in different ways, in ways that doesn't bring in as much revenue as it did before. So newspapers are struggling. Revenue has largely been in a free fall for newspapers since the early 2000s. And, of course, the 2008 recession didn't help much. In recent weeks, the Times-Picayune in New Orleans has been bought up and will, in essence, go away. The Salt Lake Tribune has announced plans to become a nonprofit, and there have been about 2,400 journalism jobs lost just since January 1st. And finally, from 2004 to 2017, about 45% of all newsroom jobs went away. That's 45% fewer journalists reporting on what's going on in your community. So that's where we are. We're going to bring it locally, but again, we welcome your questions and comments. Jill, we're going to start with you. How long have you been with the Star?
More than 20 years.
More than 20 years. So you have seen things change in that newsroom as far as what you cover, what you don't cover. We were talking a little bit before the show, and it seems like every 6 months we're creating a new model based on what's out there for readers, news versus information, that type of stuff. It all affects everything from our paychecks to staff morale. How have things changed at the Arizona Daily Star over those 20 years, and how are you guys grappling with this?
I would say there's really nothing that hasn't changed in the 20 years that I've been there. When I came to the Star, there were three people covering the border. There were three people covering education. We had teams of reporters on particular topics. Now it's difficult to cover the beats that we deem to be most important. And that's been key for us, is deciding what our role is in the community, what we absolutely are not willing to give up, and painfully, what we are willing to give up. And we've had to make some really tough decisions, which I know disappoints readers from time to time, that there's things that we just don't cover anymore. But we have to be really strategic about deciding with our smaller number of people that we have now, to let them continue to be experts in their subject matter and to really dig into the subjects they cover. That does mean easing up on other subjects.
Also, with buyouts, we have seen that a lot of institutional knowledge has gone out the door. And I remember back at the Republic, you couldn't even think of working there until you were at least 30 and had a good 5 to 8 years under your belt at a smaller paper. Now it seems we're hiring much younger people because they're cheaper. And it seems there are fewer people coming out of college who do what we do. How has your staffing been, and how do you keep up? How do you convince people that you're still the expert on a subject?
Well, hiring has actually been a real bright spot. We have found lots and lots of really promising journalists coming out of school. It seems like more than in previous years, which is kind of exciting. You're right that as people with a lot of institutional knowledge, people with 20, 30, 40 years experience in journalism and here at the Star are retiring. Those are really, really painful losses. So what we're trying really hard to do is to keep as many long-term veteran reporters as we can and balance that out with younger people. There are real benefits to the less experienced people. A lot of them are digital natives. They bring a lot of knowledge to us that a lot of our more veteran reporters and editors don't have. So there are benefits for sure, but it's really important that we keep that institutional knowledge and the people who have years and years of experience under their belt. They have a lot to teach.
Okay, Joel Jordan-Smith is the editor of the Arizona Daily Star. Give us an example of something that you've had to let go. You don't cover it anymore.
The military, which is terrible in a largely military town. We used to have a full-time military reporter. Now we have a technology reporter who does his very best to keep tabs on what's happening with the military, but we no longer have a full-time military reporter. We don't have a full-time University of Arizona reporter. We have combined that beat onto our government team. We're hiring for it right now. It's open at the moment. I could go on. There's a lot of things.
Dylan Smith, you are the publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. About 10 years ago, the Tucson Citizen hit the doorsteps for the last time. Tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us about how you stepped out in faith, or perhaps ignorance, to start TucsonSentinel.com. Big move.
Yeah, it was 10 years and a day ago that the final edition of the Citizen was hitting doorsteps and driveways around this town. It was closed down basically so that the two companies that own the Tucson newspaper operation, it was a partnership essentially in the Citizen and the Star, so they could make more money. It was too expensive to keep operating a competing newsroom, and they have managed to keep their profits up in that ensuing 10 years, even as overall revenues have certainly crashed. At least the percentage of profit is still there. I started TucsonSentinel.com. We're a local, independent, nonprofit. Pretty much the moment I was no longer a Citizen employee, went home, had a beer, registered a domain name, and got busy. because I thought it was really important that this town have another competing source of news. I think it's really important that we don't just have decisions being made about what we know in one place. And that's not a knock on the Star. It's just important overall that we have different reporters, different editors with different ideas about what's important, what really needs digging into, especially as the industry is contracting, the, you know, and people have more diffuse sources of information that they're getting on Facebook, some of which are not very reliable. I think it's really vital that we have professional news organizations that people know and trust and can go to get actual solid journalism.
And when you're looking at people who are doing it right, it makes us all sharper, quite honestly, and that's a good thing. When we come back, we're going to talk about to somebody else who also was involved in an experiment up north in the Phoenix area, but we're going to go into a break right now. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and so much more. Dylan, I don't know if you were listening to Monday's show, but I went to Mona's over the weekend and bought this entire apple pie, which I shared with
some friends. How long did that last?
Not long, because we had some friends over on Mother's Day, and it was terrific.
But you actually got it home.
I got it home, but okay, just barely, and it was quite a drive to Sarita, but it was absolutely worth it. Also, cinnamon crispy, which my wife loved, and cinnamon snail, which I bought because it was just such an odd name. Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery, or check them out on Facebook. They do it right
and get
at
your
Mona's.
Cinnamon snail.
Absolutely. Okay. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Every day, your safety and freedom is protected by the service and sacrifice of our first responders and military. Please join us in this community effort to build the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial, a place to celebrate those who have paid the price for our freedom and those who continue to defend it today. Help create a space where these memories, past, present, and future, will live forever. Learn more and donate by visiting vfrm.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News in Sahuarita Sun, and we're talking about journalism. We have in studio Jill Jordan Spitz. She is the editor of the Arizona Daily Star, Dylan Smith, publisher and editor of TucsonSentinel.com. And on the phone, we have Jim Small, who is up in the Phoenix area. And Jim, you have been involved with an experiment of sorts with AZ Mirror, ArizonaMirror.com, AZMirror.com. Tell us a little bit about it, how it launched, who funds it, and why we should trust you.
Yeah, so we are, much like Dylan, a nonprofit newsroom. We're part of the, ever-expanding collection of nonprofit newsrooms that are kind of stepping in across the country to fill in some of that gap, that is, exactly the kinds of things that Jill's talking about, where you have the larger papers and the larger media outlets that are having to pick and choose and not able to cover everything, but there is still obviously a need for the public to know, and there's a large thirst from readers and viewers and listeners to know what's going on in their community. And so we are part of actually a larger national project, basically, to expand statehouse nonprofit news coverage. We're one of 10 sites right now that are all kind of loosely organized together, we stretch across the country from Arizona and Nevada in the west all the way, to Virginia and Florida and Maine over on the East Coast. And basically our mission is, to cover what's happening at the state house, at the state capitol, the governor's office, what's happening in the public policy arena. And really, the way that I've designed the site and kind of my ethos for it is, we want to be able to tell the stories about public policy, which is inherently kind of a boring thing, but do it in a way that actually shows people why it's important and how it affects their lives and really kind of focus on the people who are going to be helped or hurt by any kind of specific public policy proposal.
Are you objective?
Yeah. I mean, our news staff is, comprised of a team of veteran journalists, myself and my associate editor, both spent a long time at the Arizona Capitol Times covering state politics. And then I was also able to hire two really great young reporters from the Arizona Republic who had been covering city councils and economic development issues and immigration issues and police and law enforcement issues and put this team together. So we've got our newsroom operates the same way any other newsroom would, and we've got editorial writers who are predominantly from the progressive end of the political spectrum, and we've got this great team of really I think young and enthusiastic and fantastically excited journalists to go out there and cover public policy and tell people's stories.
So what do you think would draw a young journalist from one of the biggest newspapers in the country to a startup nonprofit that we're not sure was going to actually work?
Yeah, my pitch to them, I was very concerned about that when I was, out there trying to hire people. That was exactly one of my big concerns was, I believed in the idea enough and in what we were doing enough to make the risk and make that leap, personally. When I talked to them, one of the things I think that they really were excited about was the ability to go out and tell the stories that they feel that aren't being told elsewhere and that they didn't necessarily have the freedom to tell, when they were working for the Republic and for a large company like Gannett, where there's so much focus is on web traffic. You talked at the beginning of the show about the readers are there, but the value isn't there yet. And there's so much focus on getting clicks and getting people to read, to click into the story, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or through whatever venue it is. And that was what the focus became, to the point where, they would have ideas for stories that were good government watchdog stories or good, feature stories and community profile stories. And they were dissuaded from doing them because, there's also these restaurants that are going to open and people want to know about restaurants in their community. So let's write it.
And the Kardashians are coming to town.
Exactly. Or whatever it is, kind of those headline stories. And that's something I think that everyone at every news operation has to deal with, you know, whether you're a subscription publication or not. I mean, I think that's always in the back of your mind. You want people to read your stuff. But I think you also want to have that, the freedom to go out and tell those stories and really, you know, provide that, be that source of accountability for community leaders, whether they're government or whether they're, you know, industry leaders or corporate leaders or, you know, leaders in the nonprofit sector. I mean, there are all kinds of folks who have positions and stations of power within our lives and within our cities and towns that, you know, with the dwindling amount of media resources, you know, there just isn't as much oversight, as much accountability to be had out there. And so, you know, the result of that, I think, is that people start to act with impunity because they expect that they're not going to get caught and no one's ever going to know about it. And I think that can create some really bad situations for the public.
And then the truth is that a lot of larger papers have over the years pulled back on legislative coverage or covering the congressional delegations for whatever reason. And so we just don't have as many reporters at the State House covering news.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I started covering at the State House in 2004. And at that time, there were two giant press rooms, one for the print publications, one for the broadcast folks. And there were radio people that were stationed out of the Capitol, and there were TV people who were in and out of there regularly. Now, there is no official press room. The press room has been moved into a building down a couple blocks away. It is it's much smaller. There are four people that are in the main press room every day, maybe three people. There are, you know, the Republic has its team of between two full-time people and then a couple of part-time people who kind of flit in and out. You know, and it's just very much not what it used to be. And there is a huge vacuum of coverage down there. I mean, Howie Fisher does the Lord's work in covering that place and has since the late 80s. And, you know, he provides so much coverage of what happens down there that there's not a whole lot else. You know, I mean, the Republic does some stuff and you know, we saw an opportunity really to kind of step in and fill in that gap and try to provide an alternative to, you know, to the Arizona Capital Times, which, you know, does some fantastic work. And I'm really proud to have been on that team and led that team for a long time. But at the end of the day, their market is really folks who are already engaged or already involved in the political process or in government or in lobbying. And there's not enough options, I don't think, for regular folks who otherwise wouldn't care a whit about what happens at the state capitol
right.
to really understand what their elected officials and the government that they put in power, what it is that they're actually doing with that power.
Absolutely. That's Jim Small, the Arizona Mirror. Check them out online. We're going to go to the phones right now. Mary Ellen, you are a Star fan.
Yes, because we like the local news. We hear enough of the politics and national, and we like all the articles that the Arizona Star puts into the paper of the area, the region, and the local, and that's what we're afraid that's going to happen. It's going to be very little of that and all this other stuff that will, national-wise, that we're not that we would rather have in the newspaper what you guys are doing with the local stuff.
How long have you been a reader?
Since 71.
And what have you seen changed that you don't like?
In the last couple of years, we feel that it's gotten a little better.
Okay.
Great. We think there's been some improvement because you have really put in some really good articles, history and of the past,
right,
as well as informative of why things are as they are. Just your little things you've done, you're doing a better job, we feel, in the last year or two.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for being a subscriber. I appreciate you. And I want to say we are a local newspaper. That is our mission, and that mission will not change. So we have fewer people covering local issues than we did before. So there are fewer local articles every day, but we are never going to become a national paper. Our emphasis is local, and what we're trying to do is have our reporters really focus more and more on bigger issues, on enterprise, on watchdog reporting, on project reporting, on significant stuff and sort of give up some of the smaller stuff that we used to do. But we are not changing our mission away from local, not at all.
Very good. And Mary Ellen, thank you for calling. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. What are you hearing from people out there in and outside of the industry as far as the specifically the Tucson landscape for local news coverage?
One thing that I don't think a lot of our readers, viewers, users, you know, the people who get news from our, all of our news organizations, one thing I think they're not really aware of and should be, because it really affects the news that they're getting, is how many fewer professional reporters we have in this town than we did, say, 15 years ago. I mean, we're talking a couple hundred fewer reporters and editors doing that work. I just ran across a couple of weeks ago a listing of the Star's staff from 2000 at the turn of the century.
That was the peak.
And now that's down to about a third
of what that was.
And the Star right now has a newsroom that I think is just a little bit smaller than what the Citizen's was when the Citizen was shut down. And that was already a pretty thinned out newsroom. And it's not just the Star. I mean, the Citizen's gone. That is, you know, not too long ago, that was 85 people. I think it was 65 the day that the newsroom got shuttered. The Tucson Weekly used to be, you know, more than a dozen people who were regular contributors. Now it's kind of a handful. Inside Tucson Business is down to just running on fumes. The Northwest Explorer used to have a newsroom of a dozen people. And now it's down to, you know, running this with the same handful of people who are working on the weekly and ITB. And,
which is not unusual.
Radio is like that. Yep. TV's like that. And yep. It's really not good for this community to not have people whose job it is to pay attention to all this stuff and to try and explain it to people in a way that they understand why it's meaningful, why it's important, how it affects their lives. So, okay. You know, people need to understand why they should support their local news organizations, because otherwise we're not going to end up making good decisions as a community ultimately, because nobody's going to know what the heck is going on.
Okay, we're going to continue the conversation a little bit. Jim Small, we're going to say goodbye to you now. I know you got to get back to work. We really appreciate what you're doing at Arizona Mirror and that you are sharing it with news outlets around Arizona. We really appreciate that.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Okay, when we return, Jill Jordan Spitz, Dylan Smith, and I will be joined by Luigi Del Puerto of Arizona Capital Times. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This is Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, Sabadita Sun, and we're with a handful of journalists talking about the challenges in the industry. But first, let's revisit Mona's Danish Bakery at Sunrise in Swan, one of Bill's favorite places. It's lunchtime right now. Owner Steve and Sherry are no doubt busy serving European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, brownies. They got everything, and it's all good. They're open for lunch right now. You can also get hot breakfast at Mona's Danish Bakery, Sunrise in Swan, in Tucson. Check them out on Facebook or find a link at buckmastershow.com. We are joined on the phone now by Luigi Del Porto. He is editor and assistant publisher of Arizona Capital Times. Hello, Luigi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us. Fewer newspapers, we were talking in the last segment with Jim Small up there, fewer newspapers are sending reporters to the Capitol. I'm sure there are a lot of lawmakers who are really happy about that. But overall, the residents of Arizona lose. Now, you guys focus specifically on what's going on there. Is that accurate? There's just not too many people running around there with pens and pads of paper.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt that the number of reporters has dwindled over the years. You know, when I first got on the scene here about a dozen years ago, we had folks from radio. I think there were two of them that were consistently around and covering the state legislature. You know, we had one reporter from the Daily Star. I believe that was Daniel Scarpinato, who's now the governor's chief of staff. And there were a couple other reporters who are sort of in and out, but you know, you have this, you had the staple of reporters from, you know, the Daily Star, the Republic, the Capital Times, of course, and then AP. And there were more of us then than there is now.
And how has that played with readers? Do you think people really notice this? I mean, Jim was talking about operations that are going after clicks, and I call those the two-headed baby stories. But what he's talking about are the things that are really boring but important. Do readers really care about what you're doing?
Well, so, you know, you have to place the Capital Times in a context, because we are a niche publication, and all we do is write about state politics day in, day out. So we're not a large metro daily that has an entertainment section or a sports section. You know, we're a small paper with a staff of about eight to nine people in the newsroom, and everything we do is political coverage. And what that means is that we have a very small audience, a very small readership, but they are consistent, and it's stable that way. And, you know, to answer your question, insofar as our readers, they are quite engaged. They know a lot more than we do. And, yes, they have stayed with us, and our circulation has remained stable as a result. So there's that important context. When you ask me that, do they notice that we have fewer reporters, you know, we've been fortunate enough in the Capital Times that although we have lost members in the newsroom, we haven't lost as many as the other publications. And what that means is that we're still able, to a certain extent, cover the state legislature as well as, you know, we could, given, of course, our limitations. But the fact that our readers have stayed with us means that they still value what we write. They find information that perhaps they're not getting anywhere else. So we're a little bit different that way. Now, the real problem, of course, is that you have the bigger Metro dailies, the Republic, for example, is such an important institution. And here's where they come in when it comes to political coverage. We rely on the Republic to go after the big stories, the ones that take a lot of manpower, a lot of resources, and a lot of time to sift through. They're the only ones capable of doing that. We're not capable of doing that because we're such a small newsroom, and we do have to focus on sort of the day-to-day political machinations and write about that. Whereas the Republic could spend a little bit more money, quite frankly, and a little bit more time on longer pieces, and write that not necessarily for our audience, but our audience is of course included in that, but for the general public. And I think that's really where the challenge is.
Jill Jordan Spitz, it's not all about clicks, but do you feel like we're heading that way, and do you ever get pressure on that?
We're actually heading away from that sort of mindset, which is I think key to our future. We are not asking people to write 3, 4, or 5 stories a day. We're asking them to dig deep and do one story that matters to readers. We are looking for content that people are going to pay for. I think commodity news, those two-headed baby stories, people are not going to pay for. They might be fun to read for a second. So we're really focused on the big stuff, the important stuff, the stuff that matters, telling it in a way that matters to people, really emphasizing in our stories why people should care about them. And on top of that, we've created a very entrepreneurial culture where reporters are welcome to try things, to experiment. We've been seeking and receiving a lot of grant funding, so a lot of the out-of-town, expensive sort of reporting that had completely gone away is back, and back big time with us. We have reporters going to conferences all over the country, sharpening their skills through fellowships and grants that they're getting. We have reporters going on reporting trips to Guatemala, to cities all over the country, studying early childhood education, foster care, issues that we deem to be really important to us. And so that's our focus, not clicks.
Is morale an issue in the newsroom? Dylan was pointing out that you've got roughly a third of the staff that you did in the year 2000, and that certainly has to have some sort of an impact.
I'm sure that it does, but I think that we have tempered that by not asking people to kill themselves every day, but to develop their expertise. We encourage them to seek grants and do the sort of reporting that matters to them, even if that reporting is very expensive and takes a lot of time. So yes, things are tougher for our reporting staff, but I hope they know that they are appreciated and that they have freedom and time to do the sort of work that matters to them.
Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. We do not see as many students. You and I both go over to the intern fairs over at U of A, and at least down here, which once was an absolutely stellar journalism department. I'm not seeing as many people coming out of school wanting to do what we're doing. Do you see the same thing? I see resumes, and they want to do blogs, and they want to write editorials, and they want to do video and this type of stuff. But I'm not seeing that they're interested in reporting and digging and I guess some of the stuff that we have cut our teeth on.
Well, I've been heartened here and there by some really
sure.
bright examples of young journalists who do want to dig into things and find out the stories that some people don't want to have told. I think having new ways of telling those stories, people doing more video and interactivity and not just sticking with the century-old sort of inverted pyramid print paradigm is a good thing. I'm still pretty much a wordsmith. That's how I like to tell stories. It's how I'm good at it. But finding new ways to communicate, I don't have a problem with that. I do have concerns about, the long-term health of this industry, and that we will figure out sustainable ways to support digging into stories that are so vitally important. I think that's what we're all trying to do. And we should say that despite the Star's ranks having been so thinned out, we are really lucky that that newspaper remains as healthy as it is. There are other newspapers around the country in similar size metro areas that have been thinned down to, you know, 5 or 6 reporters, and, you know, they don't have that any kind of capacity. So we're still lucky in that respect, even though certainly the news business in Tucson is challenged just like it is anywhere.
Well, Jill mentioned grants, and I think that that's important to your operation. Explain again how you get your money, and how did you just set up your newsroom? You're not advocacy journalism, but you're a strange one. I think that's the best
way. On the advocacy point, we don't set out to push any sort of partisan point of view. We don't run editorials about candidates or issues. We certainly don't endorse political candidates. I think it's our job to advocate for the truth and transparency and people being as informed as they possibly can be. We're a nonprofit. We do get a little bit of grant funding from outside the community. Most of our revenues come from local readers who see the value in what we do and sign up to donate, send in a check, or sign up for a recurring monthly donation. That's where the vast majority of how we keep the lights on comes from those local folks, individual local donors, local small businesses who support us.
Luigi, give us a reason why you're encouraged about the future of journalism.
Well, there's a lot of reasons to be encouraged. You know, one of which is, you know, I view journalism, and I think a lot of us do, as akin to the priesthood. It's some sort of a calling. You know, people go into journalism not to be rich. We know that it entails a lot of hard work, and the hours are rough. But what you have is young folks who still want to go into journalism, and that's a cost for, quite frankly, in my mind, given the state of the industry, a celebration. Okay. The fact that people still want to be journalists, that they see the value of what we do, despite the hardships that our industry is facing, is a very good thing. Now, there's no doubt the industry is changing, and there's no doubt that in the immediate term, maybe you'll see fewer and fewer reporters, and maybe even as we try to figure out how to be sustainable, you'll see all sorts of experiments. I think the Arizona Mirror is one such experiment.
Sure.
There are models, however, that are sustainable, like ours. We're a sustainable model because we're a niche publication. Our challenge, of course, is that we can't really expand because we're a niche publication. It's both our strength and our weakness in a way. My fear, however, is that the focus, for example, on clicks. And we know from what we're hearing from the ground that, for example, the Republic has a matrix for reporters, and they need to get a certain amount of clicks, and then as a pool, their pool needs to get a certain amount of clicks. I'm fearful of that approach to journalism, because what might happen is that we might have generations of reporters, not just the ones that we have right now, but the new ones. They have this belief that the more clicks you get, then the better your story is.
Right.
And maybe it is.
Right.
Maybe it is. But what that breeds in my mind.
Or maybe it's another Florida man story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what that breeds in my mind is a thinking that's not critical, that's not independent, and it hurts us in the long run when we're chasing after stories that, you know, sort of, you know, your clickbaits. In my mind, those kinds of stories are really pernicious. However, they are with us,
right.
And maybe if we can find a way to really monetize them so that they can, for example, sustain the other parts of our newsrooms that do, the investigative pieces, for example, then maybe that works. One other thing, you know, it's like the idea of a rich family, a wealthy family, a wealthy patron, if you will, funding local journalism and seeing that journalism as a public trust and sort of lending their name because they think it's ultimately a good thing for the public. To me, that probably may be a very good model for survival. And the family model of journalism has been with us for centuries.
Okay, Luigi, we're gonna we want to make sure that we leave some time. Thank you very much for good thoughts. I think it's appropriate though that we end a segment on journalism with a reminder of how difficult and risky the job can be at times. Dylan Smith, briefly tell us about your friend Lyra McKee.
Yeah. Well, even before I talk about Lyra, I want to mention really quickly just how terribly dangerous journalism can be to dedicated reporters. There was just yesterday a reporter who was shot to death in Mexico. This past week, there was a journalist who had her car bombed in Greece. Lyra was a young woman in Ireland, an investigative reporter who was just doing her job, went to take a look at a riot that was going on in Derry in Northern Ireland, not far from her home, and was shot to death a few weeks ago. Just not targeted because she was a journalist, but because she was just there doing her job. And it's really been, I think, a bit of a tipping point in how people in Northern Ireland are taking another hard look at how they relate to each other. At her funeral, there was the Prime Minister of the UK, the Prime mm-hmm. Minister of Ireland, all of the political leaders in Northern Ireland, and they were really called to task, as one of the priests gave a eulogy for, and got a tremendous standing ovation from all the people in the cathedral and the thousands of people who were gathered outside, that something needs to fundamentally change. And it's really terribly ironic because Lear's work was really focused on the really deep scars that have been left from the 3-decade civil war that the Irish call the Troubles.
Okay, that is going to be it for our Friday roundtable for this week. I told Bill, boy, we could go hours on this topic. My thanks to Jill Jordan Spitz of the Arizona Daily Star, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, and Luigi Del Porto of Arizona Capital Times, and earlier Jim Small of Arizona Mirror joined us. When we return, we're going to give you a little bit of help planning your weekend with Dan Gibson.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA's Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's now time for the Weekend Watch, the best way to plan your next couple of days. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. You can't miss in New Mexico. There's historic downtown Silver City. You can visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument in Grant County. For a complete listing of the many things to do, great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. We now welcome for Weekend Watch Dan Gibson. You're sitting in for Matt Russell to visit Tucson. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Matt's so excitable. I'm actually standing. I want to give that real energy. You know what I mean? I don't want to slack on the Buckmaster.
Did you do some jumping jacks right before you came on?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, you do a great job hosting the show. And isn't it a wonder though that Bill steps away and trusts us all?
Oh, it's remarkable is what I would say. There's probably some other adjectives I could think of, but
scary.
It's remarkable.
You know, we haven't been thrown off yet, and the man does need a vacation. So, Matt, and speaking of which, we're giving Matt one this weekend. But what is there to do in and around Tucson this weekend? That's wonderful.
So much. Oh, my gosh, Dan. You're going to be driving up and down, back and forth from south of the city. It's going to be nuts for you. Let's start with Tap and Bottle downtown. They're having their Where the Wild Things Pour 6th Annual Sour Fest, a celebration of the wild and funky beers, ciders, and wines of this world. That starts tomorrow from 11 a.m. on. They're having a guided tasting with the folks of Orange County's The Brewery, and then from 12 noon to 12 midnight. It's open to all. Everything's happening. All these brewery drinks, things from Arizona Wilderness, Finn River Ciders, Artisan Ale, all kinds of stuff. It'll be a delicious time. If you go to the guided tasting, that needs tickets, but otherwise, you're just paying for your drinks.
But if I go to the guided tasting and I say, I don't drink, I want a lemonade, am I going to be laughed out of the room?
Probably. I'm laughing now.
Okay. State drink. No, you can't go wrong with a lemonade. That's the law.
There we go.
In the words of the rap group Gangstar, lemonade is a popular drink, and it still is.
Okay, what else we got going?
Well, it's all booze time, Dan. Sorry. Sidecar is having their 5th-year anniversary party, also May 18th. Maybe take an Uber, go between the two. Live music, food trucks, and DJ Page Rep. He's not just an architect. He's also a DJ, which seems a little unfair to the rest of us. But Sidecar is a great place. Ari Shapiro's cocktail joint. There'll be raffles. So I don't know what they're raffling off, but it'll be fun. Also, May 18th, Sand Reckoner, noted Southeast Arizona winery. Sand Reckoner is having their 2018 rosé release. It's coming up on the summer, and everyone knows summer is rosé season. This is what my wife keeps telling me. So that's starting at 1 p.m., but from 6 to 9 p.m., what are described as the sultry sounds of Febo Fuentes. So someone will have to check that out for me. I'm occupied, but tell me just how sultry those sounds are at the Sand Reckoner. They're on North 7th Avenue. Good time to be had there.
Fantastic. So, I know you got a lot of great things going on, but the fact is we just this morning, so this is just hot off the presses, we had a new Dutch Brothers coffee open, and the rumor is, I can't get close to it because the lines are so long, the rumor is they've got over 30 flavors of lemonade there.
Oh, I think they could turn anything into lemonade.
Journalists have to come full circle over the last few years. We've turned a lot of things into lemonade. So,
I don't think they have a liquor license, but if you want lemonade that tastes like a gummy worm, they got you. It's under control.
People have a
fierce devotion to that place.
It's strange. It's people just circled around it all morning long. So
yeah, there's one opening by my house in the next couple weeks, I think. Well, I'm preparing myself for the influx.
Worth a visit. Okay, Dan Gibson, Visit Tucson. Thank you much.
Always my pleasure.
Okay.
Adios.
Thank you all for joining us. It's been, again, an interesting conversation. We could go on for hours on this, and maybe Bill will give us some more time later on. Let me remind you, though, the Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. If you like that original theme music, that's by Chris Stefan. You can find a link to his work on Bill's site. And thanks to the rest of the team, everybody at KVOI, Bustos Media, Ray Allen, Bob Dio, production supervisor Jerry Cross, Buckmaster Show executive assistant Rosemary Brandt, who is absolutely awesome. We hope that no matter where you go up and down the I-19, you have a wonderful weekend.